Thank you, everybody, for coming. Let's take a look at verse 23. We're in Proverbs 23, and the Bible reads, "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." So what I believe the Bible is illustrating here is that we're not supposed to sell out on doctrine. We're not supposed to compromise on what the truth is. You know, the truth is the most important thing. Of course, Jesus is the truth. You know, these riches that we can earn, the riches in heaven, they're priceless. They're not to be compared to anything worldly. We ought not to sell that which is spiritual for that which is carnal. It ought to be the other way around. You know, there's a lot of people here that could have, you know, maybe worked Saturday. We got Brother Fidel. He told me something that really stuck with me. He could be working overtime today instead. Instead of making time and a half, he'd rather be here winning souls to Christ. And even if we don't win a single soul today, which, you know, it's going that way for some of us, but God will reward us for the work we're doing. We can't make people believe. We can't make people listen necessarily, but we can obey God. We don't want to sell out on the doctrine of the Great Commission. We don't want to sell the doctrine of soul winning. Sadly, a lot of churches today, they sell the doctrine of soul winning. They're not doing soul winning very much anymore. You know, we see this nation just getting worse and worse every year, less and less receptive, it seems, from my perspective. Hopefully it'll fluctuate and bounce back up in receptivity, but you know, it's not looking good. But whether people believe what we have to say, whether people want to listen to us or not, whether it's going to be like the generation in Noah's day where probably there wasn't a lot of people that believed his message, or whether it's extremely receptive like Sierra Leone or something, we ought to just obey God and not sell the doctrine of the Great Commission and not sell the doctrine of soul winning. So buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. And you know, it's interesting, earlier on in this context in Proverbs 23, it talks about basically not selling out, you know, the first few verses, verses 1-8, not selling out. You know, people sometimes try to buy you or try to flatter you and get what they want. You know, one of the things it says is, "For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven." What are you going to sell the truth for? Money? It's going to fly away anyway. You know, you can't take it with you. Obviously, we all need money. We need to sustain ourselves. We need to work and earn a living, you know, for men. But hey, if you don't need that extra money and you can come out soul winning on Saturday, go for it. You know what I mean? You got to work Saturday, you got to work Saturday. If you need the money, you need the money. Well, that's a great attitude to have, to rather earn riches in heaven. So Matthew 4, I want to read quickly Matthew 16. Jesus says in verse 26, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What are you even going to give it for anyway? You could gain the whole world, it's meaningless. You give your own soul. Your soul is what's precious. And how about soul winning? When we go out, we sacrifice our time, our money, our energy. A lot of us are kind of sleep deprived. You know, we're coming from Arizona. A lot of us, we went in the future an hour. I don't know if that's the right way to describe it. We lost an hour, okay? You know, we lost some sleep. We got here late. A lot of us got like 4, 5, maybe 6 hours of sleep. We're sacrificing there unto the Lord. We're sacrificing some sleep, time, money, and energy in order to exert our energies into soul winning so that we can win people to Christ so that they don't spend eternity in hell.
Amen.
And so even if we were to gain the whole world and lose our own soul, it's meaningless. It's worthless. We'd be missing the point of life.
Right.
And so Jesus is obviously our perfect example. Matthew chapter 4, this is after he fasted 40 days and he was tempted of the devil. He was there in the wilderness. And it says in verse 8, "Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And what's interesting here is Jesus, he fights temptation by using the word of God. Obviously, he is the word of God made flesh and dwelt among us and everything. And the word of God is our weapon to fight temptation. He uses that here and he does it flawlessly. And one of the things I wanted to point out, he could have gained the whole world, but he chose not to sell his soul. He didn't sell the truth. He is the truth. And so he didn't sell out. And so he used the word of God and fought the devil. And he's victorious. And that's our example. I believe another great example was, you know, how about Steadfast Baptist Church? Maybe you know the story. You probably do. Recently, they had a lawsuit where they were going to get evicted because they somehow broke the lease or whatever by preaching Leviticus 20:13, by preaching Genesis 19. And Pastor Shelley does a great job preaching what the Bible says. Thank God for that. thank God, you know, I mean, it's few and far between these days, sadly, where a pastor will actually preach the whole counsel of God. And we're blessed to have pastors like that, that we're friends with, and Pastor Anderson likewise. And he didn't want to sell the doctrine of Leviticus 20:13. You know, he doesn't want to sell any verses. We don't want to sell the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And so what ended up happening was this liberal landlord sued them for preaching Genesis 19, you know, about Sodom and Gomorrah, how God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And this corrupt judge deemed that they had somehow broken the lease, and they ended up getting evicted. Well, I could just picture the devil, you know, we read verse 8 of Matthew 4 about how the devil taketh Jesus up into a high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. You know, I can just picture the devil saying to Pastor Shelley, you know, all the apartment buildings of the world I will give unto thee if you just sell me 20:13 of Leviticus. And the answer is no. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what the devil has to offer. We're not going to give it to him. At least we shouldn't give it to him, because the truth is the most important thing. You know, I like to use this analogy to kind of illustrate a point. And even this analogy isn't going to do it justice per se, but basically what the devil has to offer us is pennies on the dollar compared to what God has to offer us. And that's not even a good enough analogy, because pennies are actually worth something. But what the devil has to offer you is vain. Amen. And what God has to offer us is so much greater than dollars, so much greater than money, riches in heaven, that nobody can rob, nobody can steal, nobody can take away from us. And that's the souls we win for Christ, that's the obedience we have to Christ. But if we sell doctrines like Leviticus 20:13, what's next? Is soul winning going to become a door hanger? You know, what is going to come next? We're probably going to sell out on other things too. I mean, the devil's not going to be sufficed. If we give him an inch, he's going to want to take a mile anyway. He's going to want to take as far as he can go. So we ought to be steadfast, unmovable, not give him that inch, not certainly not give him more than that. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The Bible says, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we're going to finish up in 2 Corinthians 4. I want to read a verse for you real quick. But David says something that I really like. And for sake of time, I won't get into much of the context. But he says in 2 Samuel 24, it says, "And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver." He says something very profound to me. Basically, he's not going to sacrifice unto the Lord that which costs him nothing. You know, there's a cost. We have to count it. And we ought not to sacrifice that which is spiritual for that which is carnal. Like, say, if you were offered a better job, but you'd have to go live in a place where there's no good church to go to. Or a job where you'd have to work Sundays and just miss a lot of church. No. We don't want to sacrifice that which is spiritual for that which is carnal. We can't take the money with us anyway. It's going to sprout wings and fly away. It's going to be but for a moment. It's not going to be worth it. So basically, David has this attitude. He has the right attitude. I'm not going to sacrifice unto the Lord that which costs me nothing. And I mentioned how we have a cost. We're putting in time, money, and energy to be here. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it says in verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." I believe God will reward us exponentially for what we're doing for Him now. It may cost a little bit of sleep, time, energy, what have you, but He's going to reward us exponentially, because the light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That sounds exponential to me. And the treasures in heaven, you know, we can't even compare that to all the money in the world. The whole world is not to be compared to the riches that we can earn in heaven simply by obeying God, winning souls, and hey, this is not the most receptive soul winning marathon I've been on. But God's going to reward us anyway, because we're obeying Him, we're sacrificing unto Him. And let's finish up in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know, I tell people, sometimes when I lead them out soul winning at the end, when I'm trying to convince them to pray, to call upon the name of the Lord, sometimes I tell them, you know, "I can't see your heart, but I believe you're sincere." And, you know, calling upon the Lord to be saved, that is a requirement. Now, you understand the gospel, you understand what you must do to be saved, you understand how it's not based on your works at all. You know, let's call upon the name of the Lord. Let's just confess that this is what you believe. I tell them, I can't see your heart, but I believe you're sincere. We look on the things that are not seen when we're winning souls. We're trying to get people. I've never seen hell. You know what I mean? But I know it's real. I know God tells the truth. I know he can't lie. I know that hell is real. I know we all deserve it, but thank God we're saved by grace through faith. So Jesus Christ has bought our salvation, and we can never lose our salvation. Obviously, we can't sell that, but we don't want to sell out on any doctrine, whether it's Genesis 19 or whether it's soul winning, the Great Commission, or how about thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only shalt thou serve. Whatever the doctrine in the Bible, we shouldn't want to sell it. We should have the reverse attitude and be willing to sacrifice that which is carnal for that which is spiritual. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this marathon. Lord, I pray you lead us to the people that want to be saved. Please, Lord, fill us with your spirit as we go out. And please, Lord, keep us safe and help us have great fellowship the rest of the day. And please help us stay motivated and to never sell out on the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.